Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
So nice and warm this morning, I thought I'd talk to you about heaven. Is that all right? How we live in heaven now. Is such a thing possible? Yes. Well, that's God's purpose. He taught us to pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're going to see how we can live at one with heaven while we're here on earth. So I'm going to have a good time. You can listen in if you like. But I'm going to encourage myself by what I say. Because the truth is always encouraging, isn't it? You need to keep talking the truth to yourself, because there's lots of other people around that don't talk, not in Kingdom Faith, of course, but outside of Kingdom Faith, who don't talk the truth, and so you need to keep hold of the truth and keep speaking the truth. Now, last week we talked about running the race that God has entered us in, the race that is set before us, running with perseverance that race. But, of course, we can only run if we first learned how to walk. So we need to talk about walking with God. If we're going to know what it is to live at one with heaven, we've got to know how to walk with God while we're here on earth. Amen? Amen. Now, it says in the prophecy of Amos, probably the only verse that you ever remember from Amos, that if any are going to walk together, they must agree. So it asks the question, how can any two walk together unless they are agreed? So if we're going to walk together with God, we need to be in agreement with God. So if God says one thing and you say something different, someone has to be wrong. And you're only allowed one guess as to who that is. As by definition, God is never wrong, that doesn't leave too many alternatives, does it? So we will only walk at one with God if we're in agreement with him. Now, we know that even in our human relationships, there is unity and harmony when we're walking in agreement. But when there's disagreement, there's tension, and that can easily lead to division. Well, this is the same in the spiritual things, in our relationship with God. Now, I'm going to just help you a little bit by making this visual. Up here on the platform is heaven, and down here where you are is earth. So I've descended to your level. This lectern today represents the throne of God. I'm not going to get into biblical descriptions of the throne, but the whole of heaven is his throne. It's not just a seat in heaven, you understand. So anyway, this is the throne of God in heaven, and down here we have the earth. Now, of course, Jesus was the word of God that he spoke to bring all creation into being. And when he made creation, he looked at it and said, that's good. But we know that sin, disobedience, rebellion against God entered into mankind through the influence of the devil, who used to be one of the archangels in heaven, but got thrown out because he rebelled against God. So he was given leave to go to and fro over the earth, and he seduced mankind into disobedience. Adam means man. He didn't just seduce one man, he seduced the whole of mankind into disobedience to the Lord. Now that formed a separation between the people on earth and God in heaven. God could still speak, but most of the people on earth couldn't hear him. So in the Old Testament times, God raised up prophets who were still on the earth, but they had an ear to be able to hear the voice of God and to tell the people what he was saying. But God was looking forward to the time when anyone here on earth could be restored to relationship, to unity with him, and once again be able to walk in agreement with him. So I'm just reminding you of some truths that most of you know very well. The only way that he could do this was by sending the word that he spoke to bring creation into being to the earth. So Jesus Christ came from heaven to the earth, and he spoke the words of truth. He even said, "I am the truth." And he made it clear that knowing the truth sets people free. Sets them free from sin, sets them free from the influence of the devil, sets them free from sickness, from pain, from all kinds of negative things. The truth is exceedingly powerful. Now, of course, here in heaven, everything is of the truth. There is nothing here that is not the truth. As soon as Lucifer rebelled against the truth, he immediately got thrown out and a third of the angels with him, who followed him in his rebellion, deception. So, Jesus came with the truth from heaven and spoke the truth here on earth. Now he said, heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth, the creation as we know it now, will one day come to an end, and then there will be a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, where everything will acknowledge and everyone will acknowledge and know the sovereignty and the majesty of Jesus Christ. We look forward to that time.
Yes, yes.
But at this moment, we've got to see his kingdom purposes outworked here on earth. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Okay. So Jesus comes and speaks the truth. Now the truth really was in complete confrontation to so much of what was happening here in the world, because the whole world was under the power of the evil one, and the evil one is the deceiver. And deception is the opposite of the truth. It opposes the truth. And deception is what appears to be right but isn't. It's if people are deceived, they still think they're right, but they're not. Because they're believing something that isn't actually the truth. So Jesus came and spoke the words of truth. And he said to his people, that his followers, that heaven and earth would pass away, but his words would never pass away. Why? Because the truth is eternal. The truth can never change. People can change their opinions because they're opinions. But the truth can never change. So when we believe the truth, we believe something that is eternal. Amen?
Yeah.
And those words give us eternal life because they are eternal words. So Jesus says, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned, but has already passed from death to life. So Jesus came with these words of life, And all who believed what he said received that life. Now, we know that he spent most of his time with just 12 men. That seems a bit strange, perhaps, that the Son of God should take this amazing step of becoming a man himself and living amongst us, and then devoting most of his ministry to just 12 men, one of whom actually even betrayed him. Yep. Now, why did he do that? He preached to lots of people. We know that there were at least 500 believers to whom he appeared in his risen body, but there probably weren't a great number of people that were really living as disciples. The multitudes he fed, but often, you know, they were coming just because they wanted to be healed or their needs to be met. Not all of them were necessarily living as disciples. But he devoted so much time because he knew that this was the only way to make disciples. Yeah. That what he had to do with these men was to teach them the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth. Every time he preached, of course, he preached the truth. Yeah. But what he was doing with these men, these disciples, was teaching them how to live by the truth. Yeah. And he gave them this great promise when he met, or 11 of them, because Judas had already left. He gave them this great promise when he had the Last Supper with him, just before he went to the cross, that when he returned to heaven, he would ask the Father, and the Father would send from heaven upon them the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that had lived in Jesus, who is the Spirit of truth. And he would guide them into all the truth. Now, there are some people that just go to church and they have a sort of a formal acknowledgement of God in their lives. But here in Kingdom Faith, we are making disciples. We want everybody in the church here to be a real disciple. And the only way that can happen now is the same way as it happened with Jesus himself. That he's teaching us the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, and how to live by the truth. Yes. Now, because we believe in him, we have been made one with him. This is what the cross was all about. That separation that had happened through sin between heaven and men on earth, that separation was ended by the cross, wasn't it? Yes. Or it was possible for it to end for all those who believe in what Jesus did on the cross. So, Jesus gave his life for us in order to end that separation. Then he returned to heaven, where he now lives and reigns with the Father. But it says that he intercedes for us. Now, that doesn't mean that he is just praying for us. You're not on a sort of a prayer list where every day Jesus reels off before the Father a whole lot of prayers for all the people who believe in him. It means that he stands between God and what you deserve. It means also that you have access right to the Father through the Son. So you can pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, because he is the one who intercedes for us. Now, of course, he is God himself. So whether we pray to Jesus, whether we pray to the Father, comes to the same thing, as Jesus himself made clear. Now, Jesus taught those disciples to live according to the truth. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit of truth, who Jesus said would guide them into all the truth, but would also anoint them to be able to preach and teach the truth and to make disciples of others who would live according to the truth. Anybody in?
Yes.
Right. So, everything depends, if we are to live as disciples, on walking with the truth.
Yes.
Now, Jesus is the truth because God the Father is the truth. After all, he is the Word of God. So, to live in agreement with him, to walk at one with him, we have to walk in the truth.
Yes.
We have to agree with what he says.
Yes.
Now, why should Jesus need to spend 3 years just with a small group of people to teach them to do that? Because, you see, he knew that there's so much in their thinking that opposes the truth.
Yes.
He knew that the feelings and emotions that they often had were in opposition to the truth.
Yeah.
He knew that they had to live in a world where they were surrounded by people who lived in deception and not the truth.
Yeah.
He knew also that they would have an opponent. The same one who had opposed him would oppose them. And he is the father of lies. He is the deceiver of the brethren. He is the one who would try to oppose them in walking in the truth. So he knew there was going to have to be a whole learning process. And just before he returned to heaven, he gave this great commission to the disciples, to his church, really, to go and make disciples. What does that mean? To go and make people who will walk in agreement with me.
Yes.
Who will not simply know the scriptures, but they will walk at one with me. They will live in agreement with me. So we are all in the middle of that process. Some of us may be a little bit more advanced than others because we've been doing it longer than others. Some of us may be more wholehearted about doing this than others. Some of us may not even understand just how significant this is to the purposes of God.
Yeah.
But wherever you stand in this process, if you are born again, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, if you're a child of God, then you are somewhere in this process of God making you into the disciple that he wants you to be. You are somewhere in this process of learning to walk in agreement with God.
Yeah.
Learning to walk in agreement with Jesus. Now, if you considered the matter honestly, you would probably come to the conclusion that you fluctuate quite a bit in that. On your good days, you really do walk according to the truth. When everything is sort of plain sailing, it's not too difficult to walk according to the truth. But you know there are other times when you struggle to do that. You struggle to do that because of all these other pressures. There's the enemy who's opposing you, and he can use other people to speak words of deception to you. It's not just that you hear this demonic voice, but he uses others who are not walking according to the truth to say things to you that are not according to the truth. Uh-huh. Critical things, judgmental things, negative things, none of those are according to the truth.
That's right.
But people say them, and of course, if you listen to what they say, you get seduced into something that is deceptive and is not the truth.
Yeah.
But God has provided for you the shield of faith.
Amen.
With which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. What you don't always necessarily realize is those soft spoken words are fiery darts.
Yep.
But then the devil can appear as an angel of light.
Yep.
And a fiery dart can come with a soft, sentimental voice.
Yes. Yes.
But if it's not the truth, it's a fiery dart. Yes. Hello?
Yes.
And so we have to take our shield of faith against anything that is a contradiction to God's word.
Amen.
You allow anything into your heart, into your mind that is not the truth, and now you've got a problem within you. Hello?
Yes.
The problem can be dealt with by the Lord, but it's much better to take the shield of faith so that the problem stays outside of you.
Yes.
And you say, I'm not accepting that, I'm not receiving that, I'm not listening to that, because that is not the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen? So it's not just words that are spoken to us, it's our emotions. Our emotions are not yet perfected in the sense that we don't always react and respond to events in the perfect way. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Sometimes your immediate reaction is, "Arr!" And then, you know, your faith begins to kick in, and you think, no, that wasn't really right, was it? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry about that. But many people are living in wrong emotions. They come, you know, and they say, oh, I'm having a problem with jealousy. What's jealousy? It's the wrong emotions. I'm having a problem with criticism. What's criticism? Well, it's the result of a wrong attitude, a wrong emotion of judgment towards others, isn't it? Unforgiveness. Are we there?
Yep.
And so on. You know, I don't want to talk about the problems because this morning we're talking about the answer. But you know the problems well enough without me describing the problems. All these negative emotions do not come from the truth. When we look at the life of Jesus and what the Word of God says, He had emotions, human emotions, and the Holy Spirit wants to create the right emotions within us, doesn't he? He wants to create love. Well, God's love isn't born of emotion, but it has to touch the emotions.
Yeah.
You can't have love that doesn't touch the emotions. It's not an emotional kind of love. It's a love that is expressed in action, but it's still a love that touches our hearts. So we feel love for God and we feel love for others. Mm-hmm. Even those that in the natural we wouldn't feel love for, because it's the love of God within us. It's not just human love. Peace is an emotion. Now peace is the well-being, the unity that we have with God. It comes out of living in agreement with God. When you walk in agreement with God, you're at peace. But if there's any disagreement between you and God, there's something that catches within you and you know you're not at peace. There's something that's not right. But when you're in agreement with God, there is that good emotion of peace. And joy. Love, peace, joy. These are fruit of the Holy Spirit, aren't they? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. See how many of them touch the emotions. They touch the soul life. The emotions are part of the soul life. And what God wants is for the truth of the Spirit to be expressed in our soul lives and therefore in the practical things that we do every day of our lives. Not just in a spiritual context, but out there in the world, wherever we are. We're witnesses of the truth. So we are those who are learning to deny the negative emotions, to live by the truth, which will actually reproduce in us the positive emotions that come from the working of God's Spirit within us. Amen?
Yes.
Now, it's very easy to give way to the wrong emotions. Lust, greed, vengeance, anger. And sometimes even to feel justified when we do that. Well, it's right that I feel angry in this situation. No, it isn't, because God says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath.
Yeah.
You see, that's the truth. In other words, Jesus says, never go to sleep if there's any anger in your heart. Get the anger sorted out before you go to bed. Jesus says, whenever you pray, forgive. Don't give in to any of those negative attitudes, emotions that you feel towards other people, because that will undermine your prayer. It's as if God says, I'm not going to listen to you unless you forgive others. Yeah. You can go on and on and on as much as you like, pray and say you believe for whatever you will, but if you don't forgive others, I'm not listening.
That's right.
So it's learning for us to walk at one with the Father. So the truth is always the truth in heaven, right? While you or I are walking according to the truth here on earth, we're walking at one with our Father in heaven. That enables us to do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. So we say no to all these negative things that are said. We say no to these negative emotions. Say, no, 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 that's not right. That's not who I am. That's not the new creation that God has made me. But then there's this wretched thing called the devil. Now, the scripture says, he doesn't stand up, he's not in heaven any longer. But he stands before God, only in the sense that we are before God here on earth. He's going two or three over the earth. But he stands to accuse us. He's the accuser of the brethren. Now, every time you don't walk in the truth, you give Satan an opportunity to accuse you. To accuse you before God.
Yes.
It's like he says, you didn't, whatever. Or, you failed. You didn't forgive. You judged. You condemned. You got angry. And he accuses you to try to rob you of your confidence.
Yeah.
Now, often his accusations are correct because he waits to see something that is wrong, then accuses. But he will never remind you of the blood of Jesus. You know, if Satan ever accuses me, I've got one answer. He doesn't do that too much now because he always gets the same bloody nose every time. Because he says, Satan, you're right. I've done wrong, but there's one difference between me and you. I'm forgiven and you're not, so goodbye.
Amen.
You see, there's no forgiveness for him, but there is for you.
Yes.
So his accusations are there to try to make you feel, to create all the wrong emotions, sense of condemnation, sense of failure. But there's Jesus standing here, you see, before the Father, interceding for you, wanting you to listen to the voice of the Spirit who reminds you of the Word of God and says, that accusation is not the truth. The truth is that you are forgiven for what he was accusing you of. The truth is there's no condemnation for you because you are now living in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. The truth is, you might have failed, but you're not a failure because he's forgiven your failing. That's the truth. And if we walk in the truth, we remain at one with him who is the truth. So, can any two walk together unless they're in agreement? No, they can't. But then we're walking in agreement with heaven. We're walking in agreement with the truth. Hallelujah. And as we do that, so God is able to reveal his life through us. We become witnesses to other people. And ultimately you learn, it doesn't really matter what others say about you. That if they accuse you of anything, they're doing the work of the devil, not the work of God. If they badmouth you, they're doing the work of Satan, not the work of Jesus. You are walking in the truth. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what others say about you. Amen.
Amen.
Doesn't even matter what they try to do to you, because they cannot remove you from your place in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is good news. You're allowed to look happy because it's good news. So much of the time that is spent by pastors in churches are spent with people who are actually not walking in the truth. I was going to say who refuse to walk in the truth. Sometimes, unfortunately, that is the case. Because you see, if you do not walk in the truth, you make yourself vulnerable to the enemy. You will listen to what others say, even if what they say is deception. You will listen to accusation, and you will feel bad about yourself, and you will feel condemned, you will feel a failure. And when you do all that stuff, you can pray and say, "Oh God, I want to feel better." And he says, "Well, you're not going to feel better by praying. You're only going to feel better by walking in the truth." It's no use praying while you're believing stuff that is the opposite of the truth. We can only pray in the name of Jesus if we pray in the truth, because Jesus is the truth. Hello? And you see, our emotions are the result of the way we think. And the way we think is the product of what we believe. So if we believe the truth, we will think the truth. The truth will be in our hearts. The truth will motivate the way we speak and what we do. Now, can you manage another couple of minutes? What is God doing while all this process is going on down there in our lives on the earth? What is God actually doing? Well, if you look at his word, he is constantly speaking the truth over your life. You see, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, Holy Spirit is here living in you, yes? But he speaks nothing from himself. He speaks only what he hears. So the Spirit of truth within you is he. The Spirit of truth is always at one with the Father and the Son in heaven. Huh? Always. So the Holy Spirit is in agreement with the Father and the Son. And the Father and the Son, they are speaking those words of truth over your life by the Spirit. And those words of truth are not nice, sort of comforting, there, you poor child kind of stuff. It's not that. He's reminding you of the Word of God. He's reminding you of the words. Heaven and earth will not pass away, but these are the eternal truths. He's reminding you all the time. Every day of your life, God is speaking the truth over your life. So if you cultivate a listening ear, if you spend time listening to the Spirit every day, He will always be reminding you of the truth. And He does that so that you can live that day walking in the truth. That's why it's a very, very good thing to start the day with God, with the Word, with the Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, speak into my heart and life, not just some word, but what God is saying to me today. Speak that truth, not just comforting, there, it's all going to be all right, I'm going to be with you. I mean, it's nice to hear things like that. But if He speaks the truth, then, and you believe what He says, you have confidence. You know it's going to be all right. And faith is having that assurance. It's being sure and certain of what you do not see and what you hope for. Yes? And that's what God wants. He knows that faith only comes from hearing. So He is constantly speaking that truth so that every day you can walk in that truth. Every day your faith can be enlarged. Hallelujah. Every day you can take the shield of faith against all those negative things that the world will throw at you, that others will throw at you, even sometimes even other believers will throw at you. But you recognize that's not the truth. I'm not receiving that. That's a fiery dart. It might be said, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, I love you and there's just something I want to share with you and I think God wants me to tell. And it's not from God at all because it's an accusation.
Yes.
Hello? Oh, we have that shield of faith. But then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's good to lop off the heads of a few demons. Yes, I teach the students to do demon lopping. Well, I mean, that's what the double-edged sword of the Spirit is for, isn't it? Lop the heads of the demons off.
Yes.
Don't just send them away so they can go and harry someone else. Lop their heads off. Deal with them permanently and say, you're not allowed to go and have a go at anybody else.
Amen.
You're deaded and done for.
Yes.
Amen? You don't pass your problem onto someone else. Go and find someone else to deceive. No. Run them through. Lop their heads off. Do whatever. In the Spirit, of course. You see, because it's nice. God has ordained that there should be a devil and all these demons so that you've got someone to take all your aggression out on.
Yes.
Then you won't take it out on people if you take it out on the enemy. Amen? You're allowed to be aggressive against the enemy because you don't deal with mild words with someone who's opposing you and trying to undermine your faith. You speak with authority. See how Jesus spoke with authority when He came up against the works of the enemy. So you speak with authority. It doesn't mean you shout, but you speak with authority. You expect, you command and expect to be obeyed.
Yes.
And there's going to be no nonsense. It's not going to be a fight. You don't fight demons. You have authority over them. I mean, when I first learned years and years and years ago about how to deal with the enemy, God just taught me a very simple thing. He said, if you expect a fight, you'll have a fight. If you expect victory, you'll have victory.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, I'm never going to expect a fight. I'm always going to expect victory. Thank you, Jesus. Very simple.
Yes.
Jesus always had the victory, and He gives us the victory. The victory is in his blood, isn't it? The victory has already been won. So we're not going to have a fight, we're going to have victory. So what does that mean? It means we don't have to put up with any of these negative things. We can walk at one with God the Father. We can walk at one with Jesus. We can walk in the truth of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in the truth of his word. We can walk in the confidence that that gives us, in the assurance that that gives us, and in the victory that that gives us. Amen?
Amen.
And when we walk like that, we are able to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, see, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. It's a great life, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, there are some people who tend to think, well, yeah, you know, he saved me, but he sort of leaves me to struggle on my own through this and that and the other. And it's not like that at all. He says, you're never on your own. I'm always with you.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And not only is he with us, but because we have the Holy Spirit, he's within us. He's within us to enable this walk of victory. So, what does that mean? Last paragraph. Are you ready? It's 25 pages long, but last paragraph. God has already blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, what does that mean? It means that when Christ came to live in you, God said, here's all my heavenly blessings. He didn't say, you will, when you go to heaven, receive all that. He says, no, all the blessings of heaven are now yours. So, the writer to Hebrews shows us how we have access right in our prayer. You know, when we pray, we don't sort of pray down here down on earth, but we are approaching the very throne of God. It's as if when we pray, we go to heaven. We sort of stand in heavenly places with the Lord, and we appropriate whatever that is part of that every blessing that he has already given us because we're in Christ Jesus. So you see, this devil who stands here accusing, he's a load of rubbish, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't have any inheritance. He's just jealous of you, that's all. Kick him out. You know, get out of here. You don't belong. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You don't have to be, he's the only one you don't have to be polite to. Well, you know, somebody once said to me, I asked the devil to leave and he wouldn't go. I thought to myself, well, perhaps he didn't think you really were serious when you told him to go. I mean, this is a matter of authority. You have authority over him. He has to go. He has to stop his nonsense. Yeah? Come on. You belong to heaven. He doesn't. He's got chucked out. Right. Now, this means that all of our thinking here needs to be in line with God's word, doesn't it? And that's why I just grabbed off the bookstall a copy of this. So important, you know, to have this 150 major themes from a scripture. Because these are all the major themes that will affect your life at a practical level. Is your thinking in line with God's thinking? The only way you can know that is by placing your thinking alongside what the Word of God says.
Yes.
and allowing the Word of God to change your thinking, where that's necessary, or just to fine-tune your thinking, where it's basically right but not quite right, or even fill in more details so that you have a greater appreciation of the truth. Very, very important, isn't it? Let me just read one scripture, or perhaps a couple, or 400 if you like, but listen. Today, the Lord has declared that you are his special people. Oh, that's not bad. I mean, you know, you start a day with a scripture like that, and you think, wow, I'm one of his special people. He regards me as special. He doesn't just regard me as, you know, like everybody else in the world. To him, I'm special. Now, those of you who've got kids, wouldn't you say that your kids are special to you? I mean, you can appreciate other people's kids, but they're not your kids. Your kids are special. You will do anything to promote your kids, to defend your kids, to help your kids, to bless your kids, yes? Because they're special. Well, you're special. You're special. Yes. I'll just read a little bit more. Today the Lord has declared that you are his special people as he promised you would be. That's good, isn't it? And that you are to obey all he commands you. Why? Because you're walking according to the truth. Yes? Can you understand that whenever God speaks to you, you have to make a decision? Do I agree with what he says? If I disagree, I must be wrong. Now, if I agree with what he says, I therefore believe what he says. And if I believe what he says, I do what he says. If I don't do it, I don't really believe it. So, if I hear him and believe him, I'm going to do that out of love for him, and so I will obey his commands, and his plans and his purpose for my life will be fulfilled, and I will not only be one of his special ones, I will live as one of his special ones. Does this sound right to you? Hallelujah. So we'll just read on a little bit more. He will establish you far above all nations he has made, in praise, in fame, and in honor, so that you will be a holy people set apart for the Lord your God. This he has decreed. Now, if God decrees something from heaven, he's going to make sure that it gets worked out on earth. So he's called you, he's chosen you, he's set you apart to be his child, to live for his purpose, his plans, to be fulfilled, so that he is glorified in your life. So you can say no to the deceiver, no to all the devil's lies. You can say no to anything that contradicts the truth. One last thing. This is the third last thing, so it must be the last thing. Don't fall into the devil's trap. What's the devil's trap? He likes to try to sow those negative words that are not the truth. And then he accuses you for having those thoughts. See, there's something wrong with you. If there wasn't something wrong with you, you wouldn't have thoughts like that. And he's the one that put the thoughts there. So you're not going to fall for that one, are you? Because the answer to that is very simple. That thought did not come from God. It did not come from the Holy Spirit. It does not belong to me, and I'm not going to receive it. Amen. I am not going to allow that thought to become part of who I am. I stand against all those negative lies that oppose the truth. And so you walk in freedom. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. And then Paul says, and you are called to be free. So let all the freedom people of God stand up. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we praise you. Come and lift your hands to the Lord and just begin to thank him for the truth. That Jesus is the truth. That he has come and he has spoken the words of truth. And he has poured the spirit of truth into your heart and into your life. Hallelujah. That you are a child of the truth. You belong to the truth. Because you belong to God and he is the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So just speak the truth over your life now. I am a child of God. I am a child of the truth. I belong to the truth. I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. I don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to the things of darkness. None of those things have any part or any place in my life. I am a child of light and I walk in the light. I'm a child of the truth and I will walk in the truth and I will say no to everything that comes in opposition to the truth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I find it's a good thing every day just to place yourself under the truth, to submit yourself afresh. Let's do that now. Lord, we just submit ourselves afresh. We come under the power and influence of your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will guide us into all the truth, who will take the things of Jesus and declare them to us. And Lord, we today together as your body in this place, we stand firm against every device of the evil one. We stand firm against every thought. We take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And we reject any thought that ever comes into our mind that is not of Christ. Any lie, any deception, any accusation that would seek to undermine our confidence and our faith. We say no to all those things. As we stand before you today, Lord, we say no to every work of the evil one, every spirit of deception, every lying, deceiving spirit. We know the devil is the father of all lies. And we're not going to have anything to do with his lies. We're not going to listen to any words of deception. We're not going to listen to anything that is a contradiction to your truth. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us to become the people of truth you want us to be, that we will feed every day on your word, on the bread that came down from heaven. That we will be so attentive to the voice of your Spirit who speaks those words of truth that you're speaking over our lives every day. Thank you, Lord, that you speak over every one of us every day. You're speaking words of truth. Words of who you are, words of who we are, words of what you have done for us through your Son, words of freedom, words of healing, words of deliverance. And thank you, Lord, that as we listen to your words, so we can be ambassadors of the truth. We can speak those words of truth into the lives of others. And we can see other people being set free by the truth that we proclaim in your name. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Now, just one more prayer. Lord, we want to bring all our emotions under your truth. We say no to all those negative emotions that are stirred up by the wrong thinking that is not according to the truth. We thank you, Lord, that your truth is the answer to all those wrong emotions. That as we walk in the truth, so even our feelings will change. They'll come under the influence of the truth. And no longer under the influence of anything that opposes the truth. And we give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor. We praise you, Jesus. Come on, just pray in the Spirit now. See, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds himself up in the truth. It's the Spirit of truth praying through your life right now, praying for you and through you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty Lord. Just turn to all those around you and say, you belong to the truth. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.